peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, the last few days on Abounding Grace, you know that the Apostle Paul has contrasted for us in Romans chapter 8, the heart and the mind of the unbeliever as opposed to that of the believer. In this great contrast, he's clarifying this issue of how we know that there is, how we can be assured, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, the real answer to that question is Christ has fulfilled all the law for us. That's the answer, because we're in Christ. But the doubting heart struggles with assurance because of the fruits that he sometimes does not see in his life. And that is here something the apostle's dealing with, because he says here, those who live according to the flesh, he clarifies by saying they set their minds on the things of the sinful nature. And he says, number two, they are dead spiritually, for to be carnally minded is death. And then number three, he says the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God. So he's driven by lawlessness. And number four, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. They cannot do anything that pleases God. Those are the four marks, if you will, of unbelievers. Now, how is the Christian assured in his life of his faith that he really does believe and that he really is no condemnation? Well, there are fruits of that. And that's what Paul is outlining for us here. And the first thing he says here, you'll notice in verse 5, he says that those, of course, in contrast to those who live according to the sinful nature, those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So they live and set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And what is that? Yesterday, I quoted for you Philippians 2. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. So the key fundamental difference there is that the non-Christian lives for number one, right? He lives for himself. But the Christian has learned to deny himself, to take up his cross, and now exemplifying the life of Christ and the life of Christ in him, the interests of others have become first and foremost. He's a servant. The Spirit is reproducing in him the mind of Christ so that he's become a servant of all who now has life and peace. Peace with God as he hungers and thirsts for righteousness and now lives to please God. As verse 4 says, the righteous requirements of the law are being fulfilled in him. You know, you look over your life. How do you know this has happened to you? You should ask yourselves if three things are true of you. Paul says here the unbeliever has a relationship with God that is one of enmity and hostility. Has your relationship with the Lord changed? How do you view him? Before this change happens, there was no relationship. There was no prayer to him. There was no hunger for communion. There was no desire to please him. Again, you lived for number one, who is you. Once the Spirit changed the heart, all of a sudden, the things of God became of great interest to you. God was no longer distant, was he? He was becoming more and more precious and more desirable daily. And the provision of his dear son, Jesus Christ, dying for you, has overwhelmed you. And slowly the things of earth, as we sing, have grown strangely dim. And you're finding yourself delighting and being satisfied with him. Second, before your desire was on the things of the flesh, And God's law and the word had no place in your life. The word was this big book to you. You didn't understand it and you never read it. But when the Spirit changed the heart, what happened? The things of the Spirit became precious to you. His word became your chief delight. And you can't help but to spend time in it, loving it, hearing it preach, growing in its truth. His word has become the only lamp to your feet and the light to your path. Finally, before you were changed, the church and serving others had no place in your life. Church was boring. You darted out of there as soon as you could after the amen was given. To the things that were really important to you and that you really found your energy and excitement for. You never gave yourself in one act of service to the kingdom. You were self-centered. You never gave anything but simply went through the motions. But when the Spirit changed you, you became spiritually minded and the mind of Christ began to fill you. And all of a sudden you loved the church. Worship became precious to you. You began to love Christ's sheep because of His great grace for you and His grace in your life in Christ. You became overwhelmed with His love. And you longed to be with those whom Christ also laid down His life for. This is so true. You know, looking over my life, when the change happened, communion with God was a delight. His word became cherished in my heart as I read it and understood it. And I loved His church. Those will be the key marks of a transformed life. One pastor asks, if God is not real to you, if the Bible is not attractive to you, if you're not drawn to other Christians, why do you think you're one? You probably aren't. You are one of those five foolish virgins in that parable who will be left out unless you repent. You need to fall before Christ this night and ask for mercy in your life. But to those who know this by the power of the Spirit living in you, these are the words of encouragement for you tonight. Here's what the Lord says to you. Three things are true of you that you can know, that you can live knowing are true of you. First, He says in verse 9, having the Spirit, that means that you are no longer in the flesh. Those days, my friends, are over. You have been set free. Second, look at what He says in verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What He is saying is, even though the body of sin is in you is bound to die, you can live absolutely assured that you are already raised and alive because the Spirit is dwelling in you, raised in spirit. And thirdly, even your bodies which are dead have the sure and future hope of the resurrection from the dead. He says in verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Isn't that glorious? You hear what He's saying today. You, Christian, by contrast to everything that's outlined here in Romans 8, who are not under the control of the sinful nature, but the Spirit. And therefore, your mind is enlightened. You are spiritually alive. You are now driven by righteousness. And what you do actually does please God because Christ dwells in you as you believe. And if the Spirit is dwelling in you, you can be sure that if Christ was raised up by the same Spirit, He also one day will give life to your mortal bodies. It's a glorious gospel. Now, the question that must be asked today is a simple one. Have you trusted in Christ? It is only something that we see here that God can do through the Spirit. You must cry out to Him for the kind of life here described, lest you be like one of those foolish virgins on that day who are caught outside the door knocking, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And He says, I tell you the truth. I do not know you. Where are you from? But to those who know life and peace, go home today and praise Him for your life. Thank Him for His work of grace and love, that there is therefore no condemnation for you, and rest assured that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus our Lord. The book of Romans really is a glorious, comforting book. I want to read again to you this section that we've considered this week, that we might drink deeply from it, evaluate our lives, and praise God for the grace given to us in Christ. Here's what we read. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Well, those are life-changing statements, my friend. And again, we need to ask ourselves daily, am I trusting in Jesus? Because once I have trusted in Jesus, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ as if I had never sinned or been a sinner. I'm perfectly and completely absolved before the throne room of God with an imputed righteousness, covered in Christ's blood, never again to know wrath. And from that point forward, the life of sanctification flows, a new life in the Spirit, where the things of God become precious to me, and I adorn the riches of the gospel in my life, cherishing his perfect will.
Exercising our minds, hearts, and affections towards Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden, studying God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. Thank you for joining us. As always, we leave you with our address and phone number if you'd like to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the broadcast. Maybe you'd like to join us for worship or a prayer request. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Again, that phone number is 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about us, you can visit our website. A lot of information there, lindenurc.com. Again, that's lindenurc.com. As always, you're welcome to write, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, that phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you're planning a visit, we would love to see you. In fact, let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast, won't you? That would encourage us a great deal. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. We're at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. For the directions, you can either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or call us, 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. Our desire here at Abounding Grace is that you grow in Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you in that endeavor, please feel free to contact us. And then join us again next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.